Welcome to Sundown, a podcast about art, guns, a hurricane, and the challenges of honest communication. From the heart of the Catskill Mountains in New York, our hosts, Keiko Sono and Olivia Minadasi, navigate through the complex psychology and emotions between a gun store owner and a contemporary artist as they form an unlikely collaboration to install a public artwork. We hope that Keiko's deep dive into her own mistakes and her effort to embrace them inspires you and reminds you that honesty rewards those who don't give up on it.
In the last phone conversation, Chris told me about the frictions he started to feel and that he was going to let his emotions come out through his work, even if it offended Paul. And I encouraged him to follow his artistic instinct. But after several days, Chris called me again. To give you context, this was the year 2019, 17 months before the presidential election, and the headlines were filled with immigration news and the refugee crisis.
You know, Paul has that big sand pile there,
right.
And I went and grabbed some of that sand, which he offered, and it's amazing. It's like, you know, it's like fine sand that all washed up in Irene.
Wow.
So it's synchronistically a few things have kind of clicked together. Like, I've been filling these water bottles. I've been like collecting tons of these like Poland Spring size style water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been filling them with all sorts of various things. And then, you know, now that sand came up, I like filled a few of that sand, and then I started collecting kids' socks because the sand has brought to mind like sandbags and like flooding. And so what sort of developed is I'm filling these kids' socks, and actually now I'm doing a little bit like kids' clothing with like that sand, which all came in from Irene.
Why kids' clothes and why kids' socks? How did you reach that?
I'm putting a little bit of some adult stuff in there. I think the kids, because first it was the size of it. I had some extra in my studio. That's probably where it started. Like, I had a bunch of my own kids' socks that I didn't want to throw away. And they weren't personal because it was theirs. I just was like, as a material, I thought it'd be interesting. But then when I filled it, you know, Keiko, I was like, this is like our kids. I mean, I don't want to make this a political piece, but it's becoming it. And like, our kids are the ones who are going to be inheriting all of this.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I mean, they're going to be the ones who do. Yeah. And I don't want to like, I'm not trying to be heavy handed about that or make it too overt, but I'm really interested in just letting this piece reveal the truth of it. And to me, having the kids talk there is like, it feels that way to me. Like, it's kind of a poetic mix of materials. It's kind of a poetic process. And I think it's also, yeah, it feels like honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay,
so the reason I asked you is because, you know, of course, when you use kids' clothes, that instantly becomes a political piece. You can't really escape that. Kids' clothes are very symbolic. The minute you use them in artwork, most people would see them, you know, as a political statement. I mean, I would, especially if they are filled with sand and, you know, which is totally fine. But I just wanted to find out if that was your intention. And I actually kind of find it interesting that you came into this from like purely like practical angle, you know, that you had kids' socks just lying around, because that's so honest too, because that's what, you know, we artists do, you know, we just use whatever we have. But then the idea came to you, and especially now because of this immigration thing going on, you know, people are going to read into that. And also, you know, you're right about climate crisis affecting our children. So I have nothing against that. I just, you know, as long as you're, you know, aware of it. And
I'm aware of it. Okay, I am aware of it. And I think what's happening is a lot of these nuances and meanings of the materials are arising as I'm using them. And then I'm just like, what I'm trying to do is like, I put some in and then I filter what isn't, you know, doesn't feel right or doesn't make sense to me. So I'm definitely aware of it. I'm also like, you know, to answer your question, I am aware of it. And it felt, you know, it's funny because it was pragmatic at first, but then there is something about it that feels, you know, I'm definitely owning, like, the meaning of it, too. So here's the less certain stuff, but something that feels very resonant is like, I'm building this wall, right? And I'm like, the form of it is certainly taking the shape of a wall. And, you know, I'm thinking about like places it can go in there. And, you know, one option was like away from the building. We looked at sites for that, and that doesn't feel like it wouldn't work. It feels like it would. Mm-hmm. But of course, what's coming up for me is like, what is this wall protecting? And if it's just standing on its own out there, it's still a little more just observed as an object, but not as much in relation to what's going on the site there. So I started thinking, like, you know, well, something that's really striking me with Trump and striking me with, like, corporate America is how, like, you know, and not for everyone, but how this idea that, like, we can be convinced as people to protect the thing that might be undermining us. You know, like, we can be convinced that, you know, we need to buy bottled water and that it's okay, or, you know, like, and this is part of my idea with, like, what came to mind when I remember as a kid saying, like, the absurdity of the thought that we would be sold water and we would buy it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was so absurd. It was like, I was just like, what are you? And everybody laughed. We were like, that's insane, you know? Mm. And now it's like, that's not even, like, no, this generation doesn't even question that. Like, yeah. And not only is it like we bought it, but now, like, we completely assimilate to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think about that a lot.
Yeah, so, like, I was thinking about that, and I guess in the more insidious way, and then with Trump, too, and I'm not putting it just on Trump. Like, I think all of our politicians, or most of them to a certain degree, do this, where it's, like, this idea that they're on our side, and then we might be getting undermined by what we're being sold. And so, you know, this wall I started thinking, like, this thing and the placement of it with those two machines. I mean, there's two things going on there. Like, there's Coke and Pepsi machines. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, growing up, that was the big identity thing, was like, are you a Coke drinker or are you a Pepsi drinker? Not the big thing, but it was something as kids we identified with, and we were Coke people.
Okay, so at this point, I wasn't quite sure where he was going. He was just kind of all over the place. So I sensed that his creative urge and ideas were flowing, which is great. You know, I was really happy about that. But it also felt like he was kind of closing himself up, and he was just kind of going down a rabbit hole that really didn't have that much to do with this project. And Olivia, this was a time when migration into Europe through the Mediterranean Sea was surging, and there were many incidents of boats capsizing and causing many deaths. If you remember, a photo of a dead child lying on a beach went viral. So you had to be very clear of your intention in order to include children's clothes used as little sandbags. And I was not quite convinced that he had connected all the dots and made a solid case that these had to be used there and, you know, what this work was about. And through this conversation, I wasn't sure if Chris was in a good place or if he was kind of stressed out about something else, and if this conversation was a manifestation of that. I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, I think listening back to it, this seemed like more of like a brainstorming stage where Chris was just trying to see what materials were available and like what he could use and just kind of going with it. And obviously from last episode talking about that sign conflict, I think that was still, like, there was still a lot of like emotions running around in his head with that too. And he was kind of channeling that into his work. And sometimes a brainstorm can just generate like a whole wide range and a whole web of ideas, and it can go in different directions and maybe even some emotions that come out. But I think that this was just kind of a product of the brainstorming process. And I think usually out of those, there's something that comes together. Sometimes you need to make things messier before they become organized again. And that's not just for brainstorming. I think, like, in general, you got to kind of make a bigger mess in order to kind of like bring it all back.
I'm not sure if how far this will go in this direction, but the way that I'm leaning right now, Keiko, is that this wall, you know, if Paul is okay with it, would be built in front of the machines relatively. So, like, just that spot, I'm sort of seeing it coming out from between the payphone and the machines, right? And it's going to be 4 feet or 3.5 feet tall as the water was.
Oh, which interesting.
Was 44 inches is the height of the water that came in. So imagine this coming out from that wall and then turning And there's a couple ways it could work. Like, can either, I was sort of thinking that the idea that visually or even realistically, it's actually like protecting the machines.
Wow. I like that.
And so, like, there could be room there for people to go behind the wall to use the machines if they need to. So maybe it's a little farther away, and it just sort of visually reads, like, this is what, you know, because part of it to me is, like, the people made this thing. Like, kids or adults, like, packed their kids' socks full of sand to, like, make this barrier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you read it that technically or that narratively, but, like, and I think it's kind of, would be kind of telling, like, I don't know if anyone else would see it this way or if the final piece would read like this, but this idea that it's protecting, like, the vending machine.
I can see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it sounds great. Everything kind of fits. Yeah.
This was the moment when things kind of came back to its source. It's like, okay, this is what Chris is about. Olivia, have you seen the film Amadeus?
No, I haven't.
So it was a film about Mozart, you know, the composer. And there is a scene where Mozart's rival, Salieri, reads his score and instantly hears this heavenly music in his head. Hearing Chris talk about this was kind of like that. All of a sudden, I could see it. I could see what Chris was trying to do. He wanted to make a flood wall protecting the Pepsi machine that protected the store from Hurricane Irene. And this wall would be the height of the flood water and made with water bottles, kids' socks, and all kinds of knickknacks that were washed away in the flood, all filled with sand that was carried in the actual flood itself. So all of this made really poetic sense and told a powerful story. What I saw in my head was a wall that was intimately part of the store and, like, kind of surrounding the Pepsi machine, bringing back life to this old beat up machine, telling the story of the past and the future, and inviting people to come closer and ask questions, right? So that was the image that I instantly saw. And because I was so moved by this, again, I didn't even doubt that Paul was not going to like this idea or that, you know, this wasn't going to be carried out. I really thought that, oh, this is going to get made because it's such a great idea.
Yeah, and it connects to, like, that personal story, too, of the shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Paul. How are you? Pretty good. Ran later than I thought I would.
That's all right.
Okay. Hope it wasn't an inconvenience.
For you anyway.
Say again?
I got something for you.
For me?
Yep.
Two bags of ice?
No. Unless you need one.
A big bag of money?
No.
I could take that.
Not exactly.
What am I supposed to make of that snicker?
Oh my God. What else for you?
MAGA hat?
No, but I did get some new ones.
I noticed.
No, these are the old ones. I didn't bring the new ones down.
They can't be old. They're 2020.
Well, I mean a new batch.
Oh, okay.
There are a couple of different ones now.
Gotcha.
I ran out of the camo ones, so I had to reorder those. So I reordered the camo, and then they came out with white ones and with blue ones.
Okay.
So
you're getting all of them?
I don't have all of them. But
do you sell them? Do people buy them out?
Oh,
here?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Either gun shows or here.
There you go. Oh.
That's
a bag
old.
Of 9mm shells.
That's right. There's
these,
10 of them.
These are still
it.
Hot. Why is that?
They were in my pocket. No, and I have one more thing for you.
Well, this is great. Okay, I'm excited. I don't know if I'll use it. So that's from a 9mm pistol. Is that the deal?
Well, the 9mm rifle's also.
Oh, okay.
So it's
oh, look at that. Oh, I got to take a picture of it.
So well, you could take this one with you if you want to copy it or whatever, or scan it or whatever you want to do.
Oh, I don't want to, because you should hang on to it, right?
I have another one, but the idea is you can use, if you need
I don't need it in the piece, but I just think it's really cool.
Oh, if you want me to hold it, yeah.
I do want to take a picture of it.
Oh, sure.
Where's my camera?
Yeah, not a problem.
So this is the ticket, the Stevie Nicks ticket stub from the night of Hurricane Irene, right?
That's what
you told
is.
Us, then we got that story before.
Yep, this Let is get a picture of it. August 27, 2011. Concert was supposed to start at 8. It actually started an hour earlier at 7 because they knew that the rains were coming. Yeah, I found it. You said you were going to be down here, and I said, oh, I keep forgetting to bring that.
I'm glad you did. And thanks for the shells.
Oh, yeah.
She keeps driving back and forth. She waved a couple times.
She's nosy.
I was really touched when I first heard this recording. You can tell Paul was so excited and happy to give those shells and the ticket stub to Chris. I guess Chris had asked for them to use in his work. And hearing this after my last conversation with Chris was really disorienting because there was just really no indication of, you know, any kind of anger or any friction from this conversation.
Right. I thought that the whole story during like Hurricane Irene and the Stevie Nicks concert being like involved in that day was like so, I don't know, it just like added to like the uniqueness of the shop and just like the area. But I just don't know if it would have like gelled that well with Chris's vision for the piece. I think that like there was some sort of disconnect, especially in that whole brainstorming session. There was like a lot that was happening. And I think that like the Stevie Nicks ticket and like that part of the story was definitely going to be incorporated, or like it was an option to be incorporated, but it just didn't really end up working out with the central themes. I think that if the story of what happened with Hurricane Irene in the store was one of the more like central themes to the project, that was like the main thing, then I think it would have turned out as honestly like a completely different work than what it ended up being.
I'm not thinking this is going to be connected to the building. I mean, originally I thought we would, but I think it's all too busy and it's, and you know,
okay,
it's starting to read all sorts of different ways. So I'm actually looking at a freestanding spot, and
okay,
I really liked this. I think somewhere out here would be really nice. It's pretty long.
It won't work here.
Why not?
Because it's going to get hit by traffic, because people pull in here all the time.
But they wouldn't run into it, would they?
Yeah.
So
they come around the corner here pretty quick. They may not be able to stop, to be honest with you. This
okay
would not really be a good spot.
Okay.
So in there, I sensed the change in Paul's voice. What I was hoping that would happen didn't happen. Chris did not explain the work like he did to me. And Paul did not agree to have the piece built near the Pepsi machine because he couldn't tell what his vision was. And sounded like Paul was surprised that the piece was not going to have that kinetic water function that Paul thought that he agreed on. And, you know, that's the feature that he was attracted to. Did you sense that change in Paul's voice?
Oh, yeah, no, there was definitely some kind of shift there. I mean, it came out as less defensiveness and more of just, I think, like, Paul being kind of confused and not knowing the direction of where things were going. And I think Paul's kind of, like, hesitancy could have been a result of not knowing what Chris's, like, actual vision was for the project, like he told you and like you said.
Thank you for listening to Sundown. Sundown is a production of Forge Collective, a platform for co-creating stories of the future we want to envision. For more information and photos of Chris's work and our project, visit forgeartcollective.org. Many thanks to Chris Victor, Paul and Barbara Natu, and Don Ryan and Victoria Blade for their participation, and to John Notar for the theme music. This project was made possible in part with funds from the statewide Community ReGrants Program, a re-grant program of the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of Governor Hochul and the New York State Legislature, and administered by Arts Mid-Hudson.